Kapalos and Talk Story, Maui's longest-running talk show. And I've got a fascinating show today. I have Dr. Gunnars Valkers, who has been plying me with chocolate and not caffeine, theobromines.
Yes.
And I may be on a little bit of a theobromine high because we have towers of chocolate here. From the beautiful and rather unique estate that you have. And it's just a fabulous place. The Maui Kuia Estate Chocolate Farm has actually quite a few acres. You have, what, 60 acres here on your farm there?
Well, we have a total of 54 acres that we've leased, but we have 20 that are fully planted out with cacao.
And then your factory is also on that site as well?
No. The factory is in a Lahaina Business Park, actually directly across the street from Star Noodle.
Oh, okay.
So it's about a mile and a half away from the farm.
And that's where you make?
That's where we make chocolate,
and that's where you spend most of your time?
These days, yes. I used to spend a lot of time on the farm, but when the factory got operational, I'm spending all of my time there.
You love creating.
I do, yeah.
In all kinds of weird ways.
Well, I was a scientist. Yes. I actually have 30 U.S. patents to my name as an inventor.
I did not know that. What do you have patents in?
Mostly medical diagnostics, technology and medical diagnostics.
Well, you had a medical diagnostic business in San Diego that just really took off.
Right. So, you know, when you create novel products in medical diagnostics, usually the technology needed to do that is novel, so you can patent it. So that's what we did. When we created something new, we patented the technology behind it.
You had to think outside the box sometimes.
All the time.
All the time outside the box. And you had an article in Forbes magazine that was talking about some of your interesting inventions. Now, is it true that you were one of the people that worked on pregnancy tests?
Well, I actually invented the first really fast pregnancy test that took 5 minutes in the early 80s. So that sort of revolutionized the pregnancy testing world.
Can you do that for COVID-19, please?
Actually, you can. So there are a lot of companies working on very rapid visual sort of dipstick tests. They probably would be most useful with a saliva sample.
Right.
And they would detect the antigen, not the RNA, which is what most of the current tests are doing, is detecting RNA. So in this case, they would detect the antigen, the protein that's part of the viral coat. And those tests are in development. I don't know how good they are because I'm not involved in that industry anymore. But there are antigen tests that use instruments that are on the market now that are quite good. And I know that one of the companies making them, Quidel in San Diego, is headed by, the chairman of the board is one of the co-founders of BioSite, the company that
when
we
you work
started,
with?
Yeah.
And so, is it already out, what he's done?
Oh, yeah. It's out. Yeah,
I didn't hear that. I had not heard. I heard they were working on something.
It's a 15-minute test. It is a small instrument, sort of the size of a bread box, and it's actually all around the world already because they use that instrument for strep A testing and influenza testing using swab samples. So it's basically exactly the same technology. It's not new, except they developed a COVID test now. And it's almost as good as the RNA-based laboratory test. So it's.
Can you get some here, please?
Well, I've been trying to work on that. I've sent, emails to Josh Green, and I got handed off to, the emergency management agency.
Oh, good luck there,
Just get passed around.
You get lost in that.
No matter what you tell them, they don't seem to realize that, there are people that have expertise that could help them, but they don't seem to understand.
The swamp and the alligator thing,
Yeah. Unfortunately. I mean, willing to help them, but I can't, go over there and beat down their doors on Oahu. I don't have time.
We got to have them hear this art. We'll send this to them, okay? Let them hear this. But Gary out there is waiting by the phone because there are people that would love to have this tower of chocolate with Maui coffee. These are chocolates that are made there right at your factory.
Yes.
from your local plants.
Well, these particular bars are made from an Ecuadorian bean that is from a single family estate in Ecuador.
Oh, okay.
And that has its own story if you want to hear about it.
Sure.
Yeah, so Dan has been working with a single family estate for 7 or 8 years now.
Dan is your operations
Dan
guy
Doherty,
who really understands the cacao plant.
And you interviewed him a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
So anyway, he's an internationally acclaimed expert at post-harvest processing of cacao. So this family hired him to raise their quality level so that they could sell their beans for much higher than the world commodity price.
Mm-hmm.
And they do. They sell for 4 times the world commodity price right now. And they recently were acclaimed last October at the Salon du Chocolat in Paris, which is the largest international chocolate show, as a Cocoa of Excellence Award winner, which is only given to farms, not given to chocolate makers.
Interesting.
Right? So they're recognized as one of the absolutely best farms in the world. And because of Dan's unique position, he actually gets to go down there and select the best lots among their entire harvest.
Wow.
So we get the best beans from one of the best farms in the world. So it's a very unique position, and that's why we use those beans, because
it
really makes great chocolate.
Well, yeah, and you've become an expert in this, obviously, as you've worked with them in this. And I have to say, also, it's beautifully packaged. We have colors in this tower of chocolate, of the chocolate Maui coffee ones are kind of chocolate brown. The peppermint are a lovely kind of aqua color. There's blood orange that is packaged in orange. The lemongrass is in green, and you have the Ecuadorian chocolate in a shade of orange as well,
classic.
Right?
Classic. We call it classic because it's unflavored. The other ones are flavored with either essential oils, or in the case of coffee, the coffee is ground directly into the chocolate.
And this has got a beautiful ribbon with your title, Maui Kuia Estate, on it. Really,
and I have to say, you know, putting a plug in for another Maui company, the coffee bean in our coffee-flavored chocolate is the Maui Mocha bean from the Kanapali Coffee Farm.
Ah.
It's one of the best beans in the world.
Really?
So we've used that specifically because it flavors the chocolate with an extraordinarily nice complimentary flavor.
And you do mention in this beautiful packaging on the side how much percentage, when it says 58% here, 63%.
Right.
What does that mean? That's how much chocolate's really in
there? How much cacao is in there.
How much cacao,
okay. So it refers
to
the percentage of cacao, and then the rest of it is either sugar or, in the case of milk chocolate, it would be the milk component.
So you have pretty high cacao.
Yes.
In these,
Yeah, the dark milk chocolate is actually unusual because most milk chocolate is like 30 to 40% cacao.
Uh-huh.
Ours is 60% cacao. So it's very dark. If you even look at it, it doesn't look very much lighter than the dark chocolate, but it also has a very deep chocolate-based flavor to it.
Now, before we get into the other chocolate you brought in, he brought in a bag of mango chocolate. Honest to God, he brought a little bag in full of these mango chocolates that were so good, but we're not talking about that now because we got to give this tower of chocolate away. And this is a really nice gift, so call right now. You will talk to Gary, our wonderful Gary, who's the rock out there. We'll answer the phone, the number out there, 244-9533, 244-9533, and you will be able to get this lovely gift. The phones are ringing already. Now, switching to that mango chocolate you brought in, that is, you're kind of really proud. Some people have pictures of their kids they show. You're proud of your little chocolate creations, and this new mango one is like, I just made this, you know, it's like you're all excited about it. So tell us about this mango chocolate you brought.
Well, about when I started flavoring chocolate about 3 years ago, identified essential oils as a base of flavoring, but you can only add either an oil or powder to chocolate. You can't add anything that's water-based. So you can't add like a puree to it.
Huh.
So you can make a puree, but then you have to make a powder out of it, right? So the mangoes that were growing on our farm from the previous farmer, we rejuvenated those trees, and then we realized that were some of the best mangoes we'd ever tasted. And one variety in particular called a Mapulehu mango, which is a cultivar that originated on Molokai, we have 6 trees of that. And that mango, when it is ripe, and it's only ripe for like one day. You know, it's unripe, not ripe enough the day before, and it's overripe the day after.
You have to have a little bell that goes off in your office when it hits the ripe stage.
Well, you know what I do? I pick it a day or two early, and then I set it on the counter, and I watch
and
it,
watches
and I smell it. And when it's perfectly ripe, I immediately put it in the refrigerator or the cooler, and you can arrest the ripening for a couple of days if you do that.
Uh-huh.
And then I get enough to puree 30 or 40 mangoes, and I puree them all at once, and then I
And then from
them.
The puree, how do you make it a powder?
Well, I have to send it to the mainland, so there's a
you
company.
You can't make it a powder?
No,
here.
Can't. There's no
wow.
nobody that has a process to do that in
I
Hawaii.
I wouldn't have known that. Interesting.
Yeah, so I have to send it to the mainland, and that sort of gets into the whole kosher. Why are we kosher? Because
well, you
we,
are,
I
and
mean,
we didn't bring, we didn't introduce that to the thing. You are a kosher factory.
Yes, we are, and the reason we are kosher certified is because the company that makes that powder is a kosher certified production facility,
mm-hmm.
and they won't let anything into the facility or out of it that isn't kosher certified. So when I went to them and I said, "We've done all this R&D for years." And I went to
Research
them and said, okay,
and
I'm ready.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm ready to do the production lot. And they said, well, where's your kosher certification? I said, what? You know, they never told me I needed to be kosher certified.
And that's got to be done by a certified rabbi.
Right, exactly. You have to have, you know, an authority figure that actually is recognized in the community as being able to do that. So I had to bring the rabbi over from Oahu in order
did
to certify
the
factory.
Did you give him some of the chocolate, a lot of the chocolate?
But I had to explain the whole process, you know, how things were done from beginning to end. And finally, you know, he kosher certified the whole.
Todd Vines won. Congratulations, Todd Vines. Thank you for listening, Todd. And you got yourself this tower of chocolate. And, you know, we're going to be giving away more in our other stations, folks, because I saw the phones were going off and other people wanted them. So I will be having some on my show on The Buzz, and I know Jack had some. And so there will be other chances, just so I know, because other people wanted more. So, I'm sorry if you didn't win, but Todd, congratulations. So sorry.
All right. So finishing the kosher story.
Mm-hmm.
So when I knew I had to be kosher certified, I had to have the factory up and running. So I couldn't do it before the factory was fully operational because they have to actually see the real process.
Right.
And
you can't do that on Zoom.
No, you can't. And then the original motivation was just to have the puree certified. But when it came to it, they said you have to certify the whole factory in order to have the puree certified.
Wow.
So now all of our chocolate is kosher certified,
really?
Which is a good thing.
It is a good
right?
thing.
But the whole motivation for doing that was the
mango
puree.
Every bar mitzvah, every single person having any kind of kosher wedding can now get your chocolate
to
be. And how special is that?
Well, I think
it's definitely a selling point.
Send it to Israel? Definitely a selling point.
Yeah. And who would have thought that? You know, it's interesting how these things in our life direct us in strange ways, right? I mean, you never would have guessed when you were in San Diego beginning your first business there that it would go and become huge and go on the stock market and you'd sell it and then you'd land up here on Maui, which you did about, 2007 you came
right.
here from San Diego because it just got to be too crowded in San Diego, right?
Yeah, I lived there for 55 years from birth, I saw a lot of changes.
Lots of changes.
And it became too congested for me.
I've got you. Even L.A., when I grew up there, it got too congested, and now it's insane. I don't know if it's as bad now with everything changing, but no, I mean, Maui, you what was the call that you had, the Maui call to you?
Oh, well, we visited, you know, ever since the early 90s, probably once or every other year or maybe every year. And
mm-hmm.
We really like the Kapalua area because the weather is amenable to living there year-round. It's not too hot in the summer. So we decided in 2004 we were here renting a house for a month, and we were just touring around. Really didn't think about buying any place, but we heard about these lots and decided to go look. And we decided to buy, like, that day.
It happens.
Yeah, it
happens. You're not the only one that, I mean, Betty Sakamoto does a lot of property out there, and she says she sees this all the time.
Yeah.
And that people come and that one day, you know, and I was doing the same thing back in the 80s. I was coming and visiting two or three times a year and came here for 6 months or maybe less, actually, about 4 months in 86. And then when the stations came up for sale, it's like, okay, time to come live on Maui and get it going, you know. And everyone's got interesting stories about it. And not a lot of people maybe can make that transition. Some people can't. But you did when you all of a sudden realized, okay, that's sold, that part's over. But at that point, you didn't have the chocolate bug.
No.
you know, that was just, okay, I'm retired, I'm here. What brought chocolate into your life?
Well, I guess I when I first got here, I really was fully retired, and I took up kite surfing, and that was sort of my passion for a while. And I haven't kite surfed for a long time because I'm too busy now. But then around 5 years after I got here, I just got a little restless, and I started growing cacao as a hobby because I had the room to grow it at my house. I had 3.5 acres of land. So that's when I actually met Dan, because he was a graduate student at the University of Hawaii at Manoa,
uh-huh.
and he was running an experimental program to plant cacao varieties across different areas in the Hawaiian Islands to see what varieties grew well in which areas.
Mm-hmm.
So I became an experimental field trial site.
Did he bring some of the plants?
Yeah, they ended up grafting plants. So they had 10 varieties they were testing, and they had to graft them onto whatever rootstock you had. Mm-hmm. And I'd already planted trees, so he was just grafting onto my existing trees.
And then it's not an easy process necessarily from the plant to making chocolate.
No. But the first thing that they wanted to do was just get to fruit production, which takes 3 years.
Well, so that's not as bad as grapes. Grapes are 6 years.
Right. But then fruit production, it only starts in 3 years, and then it is another 4 or 5 years
uh-huh.
for the trees to mature fully
okay.
to full production.
So it could be 7 years or?
7 or 8 years at least
uh-huh.
to get to full production, which
is. You don't have many problems. I lived in Sonoma County for, 7 years or so. So I did a lot of, grape tastings and going to a lot of the farms and everything. So, and there were bugs and things and problems, and it's not easy being a grape farmer. I would imagine it's easier being a cacao farmer than having a vineyard,
Well, in
right?
Hawaii, it's a bit of a challenge, mostly because of cost, right? Labor and material. So it's very costly to
uh-huh.
farm cacao in Hawaii. In fact, you can't possibly make a business out of it as a farmer.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I realized in 2016.
But obviously coffee does.
That's true, but coffee is actually a lot less labor-intensive, I would say. It can be mechanically harvested. Cacao cannot be.
Oh, that's
so
a biggie,
The pods grow close to the tree, and they have very thick stems, so they have to be manually clipped off.
Wow, so it's all hand-done.
Yeah, it's all hand-done.
And it has to be exactly the right time.
Well, you have to know what's ripe and what's not. That's not such a critical thing. It's really just the amount of labor it takes.
And it's 2 crops a year?
Well, there is a main crop in the spring, and then in the fall, which we are just starting our fall harvesting, there's a smaller crop.
And you have to do the harvesting. You can't just not do a year or skip a crop, or anything.
Well,
you could.
It's probably not good for the trees to
right.
let the fruit just sit on the trees. They take a lot. It takes a lot of energy to mature the fruit. So.
Well, you don't have to worry about the frost. I remember and the grapes, and he's like, oh my gosh, the frost is coming. You got
to
save
You do have to worry about drought, for example.
Are you really?
Overstressing the trees? And,
uh-huh.
and where we are in Lahaina, we have to irrigate.
Uh-huh.
So we're constantly monitoring water and are the trees under stress, and it also fertigation levels. We're monitoring fertilizer and actually doing leaf analysis to determine if the nutrient levels are actually being taken up by the plants.
So it's a combination. You're a combination farmer, patent explorer. You kind of are running the business. You're the CEO, right, of
right.
the business. And you also are doing tastings out there.
Yes.
And so, it sounds like this has got to be an interesting thing. It keeps you from being bored, right? Because you're doing all these different jobs now.
Well, yeah, it keeps me busy 7 days a week right now. Yeah, it does.
So how many times a week do you do tastings right now?
Well, we're doing 4 main tastings. We call them the Maui Food Bank tastings. It's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. and then Saturday at 11 a.m. And they're pretty comprehensive. It takes about an hour and a half, and we taste 14 samples. So, and we give the whole history of the company and how chocolate is made, and show them videos of the farm and also the other origins that we use, the Ecuadorian farm. So they understand exactly where everything comes from. And most people don't know what chocolate is made out of. So they've never seen a cacao pod, for example. Wow, I've never they didn't realize that that's where chocolate comes from.
And the difference of how it's made. I mean, most people have only had commercially made chocolate, not...
Right. So there is a huge difference, and this is where Dan is an internationally acclaimed expert. The fermentation process, which happens on the farm, is critical to the flavor development.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't just the varieties. The environment and the variety has an effect, obviously, but if you don't ferment them properly, then you can't extract the full flavor. And so really properly fermented cacao can be used to make very fine chocolate, and it usually has sort of a fruit flavor that is associated with the cacao.
Mm-hmm.
It's not added, right? So like our Maui chocolate made on our farm, or made from the cacao from our farm, tastes like apple banana.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's really
there is something about our beautiful earth, and isn't it? I mean, there's something, you know?
Yeah, so it's a flavor that does not exist in any other chocolate that I've tasted from any other part of the world, including Hawaii, because
mm-hmm.
Hawaii has a lot of microclimates. So
yeah.
On the other side of the Big Island, Hilo side of the Big Island, there's a lot of rain. There's 40 feet of topsoil, and the trees love it over there. But I think they make sort of bland chocolate.
Interesting.
Because it's sort of fudgy, but it doesn't have any interesting complex flavor characteristics to it. And the same thing, I think, is true to some extent in Hana, although I've only tasted a few chocolates from Hana. So I'm not an authority in that area. But the fermentation step is so important, and that's why Dan is such a key player here, because he's an internationally acclaimed expert. He has won awards from many farms around the world because of
and
his expertise.
And he does some of the tastings as well.
Yes, he does the tasting. So when he does a tasting, it's quite technical, and some people really, really like that.
Mm-hmm.
I focus more on the story of the company.
Right. Right, which is a fascinating story.
Yeah.
And the fermentation, does that make a difference in that, what we were talking about at the beginning, and it's not
theobromine.
Theobromine. Does that determine the theobromines?
No. Okay. Theobromine is the stimulant, the main stimulant in the
chocolate. That
doesn't
relate to the fermentation.
Not really,
because alcohol is fermented.
Whatever is in the bean is in the bean. So there are chemicals in the bean that are changed by fermentation. So fermentation is a two-step process. The yeast, first of all, take the sugars from the fruit pulp that surround the cacao beans, and they convert them to ethanol, right? So that's typical yeast converting sugars to ethanol, just like in wine, right? So there's a secondary step where Acetobacter, which is the main bacteria involved, takes the ethanol as a food source and converts it to acetic acid or vinegar, right? So at the end of a 7-day ferment, your beans smell like vinegar.
Really?
And that's a good thing, right? In wine, that would be a very bad thing.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Right? But in cacao, it's the natural process in fermentation. This is what would happen if you didn't arrest the bacterial, you know, multiplication like you do in winemaking.
Uh-huh.
But in cacao, that's a very natural process to go to that level, and certain temperatures are reached which cause chemical changes in the beans. So the chocolate flavor of fine chocolate is developed during this process.
Interesting. And there's something about your chocolate that kind of melts in the mouth. Now, typically you think of chocolate, you buy in a chocolate bar or something like that. You're chewing it, and it doesn't melt in your mouth usually, but what makes your chocolate melt in the mouth?
Well, we are subscribed to sort of the European model of chocolate making. And the Europeans, I would say, were the pioneers that sort of added a little bit of cocoa butter.
Mm-hmm.
Cocoa butter is present in cacao. About 50% of the cacao that you use to make chocolate is actually cocoa butter.
Mm-hmm.
The rest is the cocoa solids, right? So we add a little bit more cocoa butter, and that creates a better mouthfeel and a better melt.
Hmm.
And ultimately, like I've been telling people at tastings, they always laugh at this, but I tell them, hey, your body is perfectly engineered to enjoy chocolate.
Well, you have found a chocolate diet that anyone who's a chocoholic like me would love to hear about. You started doing all this work, and you've been so busy that you told me you've given up lunch. And instead of lunch, you have some of your chocolate. How much of your chocolate do you have for lunch?
Well, I eat between 50 and 100 grams a day. So that's between roughly 2 to 4 ounces a day of chocolate. And
do you get high from that?
No, I don't. I stay alert.
But you say Dan. Dan
well, Dan's very sensitive to theobromine. This is his theory anyway. he said it like totally activates his mind and thought process, but he still can sleep after he's eaten quite a bit
but
of chocolate.
You can't do after caffeine.
Yeah, caffeine is you know, a totally different thing. I get jittery with caffeine, but I don't get jittery by eating a lot of chocolate.
That's good news. I saw on your site this amazing recipe for a chocolate tort cake that is amazing with 1.5 sticks of butter, 1 to 1.5 cups of Cuillo dark chocolate, 6 eggs, half a cup of sugar, and a pinch of, there you go, kosher salt. And it doesn't look that difficult. Have you had this yet?
Yeah, Ashley Cooper, who's our sales and marketing person, she I don't know where she got that recipe, but she made it and brought it in one day. And everybody liked it quite a lot, so I think
oh my gosh, the picture on your site is amazing.
Yeah.
It looks fattening, though. You
well,
see the picture.
I don't know. I mean, chocolate, you know, is not that fattening. The little
That's
small,
good news.
The small individually wrapped squares. Uh-huh. Well, for example, the bars you just gave away, 25-gram mm-hmm. bar, is about 150 calories.
That's a bar,
so
not
that's
just
whole
a piece.
Bar,
yeah.
Right? So you eat the whole bar, it's 150 calories.
So we don't have to feel too guilty doing
no,
that?
No, not at all.
And so when you do these tastings on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, all the money from the morning tastings goes to the Maui Food Bank, is
yes,
that right?
Yes, so people pay $15 a person or $25 a couple.
And you get 24 pieces?
Well, you get 14 pieces each.
14 pieces, okay.
And every dollar goes to the Maui Food Bank. In fact, we turned over 2 checks last week to them for a total of more than $3,300.
That's wonderful.
That came from about 2 weeks' worth of tastings.
Now, is it a good idea to make a reservation
yes,
to come out to those?
Yes, they have to be booked ahead of time so we know who's coming and how many people are coming. So they're booked through our website, and you pay through our website. You don't pay when you get there.
Mm-hmm.
So we know how many people are coming and who's committed to coming. What you don't want is a lot of reservations, expect people, and then they don't show up and they don't pay.
Right.
Right. So that's pay ahead of time.
And you go to what site for that?
MauiChocolate.com.
That's a good website.
Yeah, it's pretty self-explanatory.
It's easy to remember website, mauichocolate.com. And you can see there how that you do have a lot of wonderful nonprofits and charities you make a point of giving to.
Yeah, and we actually have a new program that I'd like to briefly describe. It's called Chocolate Lao Lima, and you can read about it on the website. Basically, we've only launched it 2 weeks ago, and now we have, I think, by the end of this week, we'll have 25 nonprofits enrolled.
Wow.
So what it is that we are going to make a limited series of products available on our website, and each nonprofit will have their own web page.
Oh, nice.
And they have to promote the offering.
Uh-huh.
But if people go to their web page and buy the products on their web page, 40% of the retail price is returned to the nonprofit. Not the 40% of the profit, 40% of the retail price.
That's wonderful.
That is paid is returned directly to the nonprofit on a monthly basis.
Can they find that at MauiChocolate.com?
Yes, they can. It's called Chocolate Lao Lima, and we have a list of nonprofits. Right now, the list is only 12 long because we haven't entered the next wave of nonprofits. That will happen later this week. And on Monday, we'll actually put out a press release that identifies all the new nonprofits in the program.
When you started this business, you had no idea that tourism would be affecting your business and COVID-19 would happen. And you didn't stop, you know. You kept going and you just kind of changed your direction, as all of us had to.
Yeah, Chocolate Lao Lima is actually what happened, right? So we started out by let's just try to press on with our online business because we didn't have much, you know, of a customer base. And we had, of course, retail store, but hardly any walk-ins because there's, like, nobody around. So what do? You know, how do you engage the entire island community, and not just on Maui, but on Oahu, right? So we have got nonprofits from Oahu, major nonprofits from Oahu that are in the program, and they're going to be promoting this program to all of their supporter base, as well as the Maui nonprofits. So now we're engaging people across both islands.
Wonderful.
To buy the chocolate to benefit their nonprofit.
And you have a lot of different kinds of products on your site.
Yes, we do. In the program, we have right now 11 different chocolates that are packaged in a bulk bag, a canvas bag. That's our most effective, cost-effective way, and that's why we can give 40% of the retail price away. We also have lots of gift boxes. They're not in the program because the gift boxes are very expensive. We don't make them. So that's a big cost to us, and we wouldn't be able to give 40% of the retail price away mm-hmm. if gift boxes were in the program. So the pieces you got that I brought to you in a bag today. I didn't bring a canvas bag to you. I just brought a paper bag.
And it's good.
And
so for Christmas, you know, because we're already here mid-September. Can you believe it? So for people wanting to give special gifts for Christmas, they can order and do that online. Would they then give the address and would it be shipped out by you
and
paid online?
We have a generous shipping policy. So we'll ship anywhere in Hawaii for... If they buy $50, actually we ship anywhere in Hawaii or the mainland, if they buy at least $50 for $10 flat rate fee.
That's a good deal.
If they buy over $100, the shipping is free, whether it's in Hawaii or to the mainland.
It's a great deal. Great gifts. Everyone would love. And it's so beautifully packaged and it's so lovely. It's a great gift.
Plus in the shipping, we ship during the warmer months. We ship with an insulated packages with frozen gel packs so the chocolate won't melt.
Can you have Ashley include their chocolate tort cake? I want to buy some of that chocolate tort cake.
You'll have to ask her about that. We don't have an oven at the factory,
it looks
so it's
really
not something
good.
We would make.
Okay, I'm going
to
try.
That's like a personal thing that Ashley would have to do for you.
Well, it looks delicious. And again, you can go to MauiChocolate.com for more information. And it's been wonderful talking to you. I really recommend people going to MauiChocolate.com and planning to do a tasting. It's like a little mini vacation. Going out there to your lovely place, finding out about what you're doing, hearing the whole story from you, the creator and founder. It's a fascinating journey and a beautiful story. And it's five star all the way. It's first rate, rate product.
And you can BYOB if you want to bring red wine or tequila or something. You can BYOB and pair it up with the chocolate. It makes wonderful pairings. We can make suggestions.
Can
for people
sit
that
there on your deck and have the chocolate?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
It's
great.
Open air, 2,000 square feet. We can handle 30 people with complete social distancing.
I love it. Well, thank you, Gunnar, for coming in all the way from your side of the island to over here. And thank you for bringing that beautiful mango chocolate. And we look forward to giving away more chocolate on the air here soon. I'm going to take some. If it's still left by the time I get through with my interview, I'm going to take some with me, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.